Our film critic, Stephen Schiff, has a review of the new Bernardo Bertolucci movie, The Last Emperor. The Italian director's earlier works include Last Tango in Paris, The Conformist, and 1900. For The Last Emperor, which he also co-wrote, Bertolucci spent 3 years in China researching the film before it went into production.
It used to be easier to make a big historical epic. In a more jingoistic era, American moviegoers were vaguely willing to believe that 20th century America was the culmination of everything that had gone before it. Pharaohs and Roman centurions and medieval crusaders all seemed to inhabit a world not terribly different from our own. They thought pretty much the way we do, and talked pretty much the way we do, and emoted pretty much the way we do. Well, we no longer live in a culture that accepts its own preeminence so unquestioningly. The strangely familiar monarchs and Huns of the old Hollywood movies now seem entertainingly corny. These days, if you're going to make an effective epic, you have a problem. How do you convey the strangeness of another place in another time, and still make a vast and complicated story comprehensible, all in less than 3 hours? I can't say that Bernardo Bertolucci has accomplished all this in The Last Emperor, but he's come close enough to make an exhilarating film. This is the true story of Puyi, the last emperor of the Qing Dynasty, which was the last dynasty to rule in China before the Revolution of 1911. The movie follows Puyi's life from the age of 3, when he was wrenched away from his mother to become emperor of China, through his imprisonment and re-education by the Red Chinese, and ends in 1967 when he died. In trying to cover so much ground, the movie sacrifices a certain intimacy with its main character. Whether he's played by the dashing John Lone, or by any of 3 other actors, Puyi remains a passive, distant figure. We get close to him only briefly, as he develops a relationship with his English tutor, played by Peter O'Toole, and then prepares to marry.
But who did you choose to be the Empress?
They chose her. She's very old, Johnston. She's 17.
It's not so old, Your Majesty. What does she look like?
Old-fashioned. I want a modern wife, Johnston, who speaks English and French, and who can dance the quick step.
Bertolucci has always been a Marxist director, but paradoxically, he's always been most attracted to the lush and decadent trappings of power. And so, in The Last Emperor, he fudges what seems to be his main point, that Puyi, trapped within the walls of Peking's Forbidden City, and hence within the walls of his position and power, finally finds freedom in the humble life of a gardener. Bertolucci doesn't seem much interested in Puyi's transformation. What fascinates him is the pageantry of Imperial China, and The Last Emperor fills your eyes and ears with it. Bertolucci filmed most of it on location, and the sense of color and space and mystery he brings to the screen is purely and spectacularly Chinese, irreproducible anywhere else. The real power of the movie lies underneath its storyline, in the disturbing eroticism of Bertolucci's imagery. Puyi's story is a tale of power and impotency, of a boy who commands half the world, and yet cannot ever have what he desires most, his mother's loving presence. For Puyi, China itself becomes his adoring mother, and later, during his imprisonment, a stern, reproving father. Bertolucci's symbols form a delicate filigree that runs through the larger spectacle. When you see the movie, watch for the patterns of blindness and seeing, of walls and imprisonment, and watch above all for the way the women in Puyi's life run in contrasting pairs. It's screen imagery, not character, that fleshes out Bertolucci's version of history. The Last Emperor isn't quite a great film, but it's a stunning one. It's that rarity, a historical epic with real sensuality, real wonder, and real cinematic flair.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for Vanity Fair.